And once again, it is time for Conservative Voice Radio. We've missed you all week. Good to have you here on Saturday on KMET 1490 AM and at KMET1490AM.com. I am Douglas V. Gibbs, your host, DouglasVGibbs.com. I have with me in the room members of the Banning, Beaumont, Cherry Valley, Tea Party, Jan, Diane, and a couple of special guests in here. We'll bring them up as necessary. Here's the first topic of the week, and we've got a lot to talk about, so I'm just going to dive right in here. And I'm going to title this The Cries of Hillary. Jan, let's start with you. What are the cries of Hillary?
Well, I watched the Democrat debate, and Anderson Cooper asked her a question, which I thought she gave a wild answer. He said, you know, how is it you got $650,000 for one speech? And there was this pregnant pause, and she was thinking, and then she said, well, that's what they offered. And I thought, gosh, do people really believe that answer? But he didn't do a follow-up. You know, he didn't ask her anything more about it. But the thing that got me really was when asked about the FBI investigation, she said, well, it's actually for a security review. And then she changed the subject quickly and said, and by the way, I believe that if they're doing a review on me, they need to do it on the GOP candidates. And I'm thinking, but they didn't have a server in their home and they didn't pass classified information on an insecure network, Hillary.
First of all, I was surprised her response wasn't, what difference does it make?
Yeah.
First of all, second of all, you know, and we've said this before, have to remember, she doesn't understand what's wrong.
Yeah, she
doesn't
get it.
She's above the law. She can do whatever she wants. Illegal act. What does it matter? What difference does it make? Because, you know, gosh, I'm doing it for the common good in the end. Well, what does it matter what path we take as long as we get to our wonderful socialist utopia?
Right. And she even said that all of these issues that are coming up are just like Benghazi. In other words, it's just another right-wing conspiracy. They're always on my case from the 90s, Anderson. So basically, she's crying victim.
She didn't do anything wrong. It's because they're Republicans and they hate her because she's a Democrat and because she's a woman.
Right. Oh, that comes up later, the woman part. Yeah. Don't get me started on the woman part, okay?
All right, Diane, what would you like to add to the cries of Hillary?
Well, the cries of Hillary in regards to what Jan was saying about all the money that she gets. On the Hannity, Sean Hannity website, there was a list of 100 speeches that she made at various places, and there's so many of him. There's like Goldman Sachs Group, London Drugs, LTD, Beaumont Health Systems. There's 100 of them, and she pretty much averaged about $250,000 a click. So there's that, and other cries of her are women's rights. And how can someone call for women's rights when they support an ideology that doesn't regard women? A. B. She supports abortion, which half of the aborted babies are women, and et cetera, et cetera. She tries to discourage the women that were speaking out against Bill's abuses. So there you are. Those are the cries of Hillary. And
well, remember, you know, she's saying that there's a war on women, but I always thought the war on women began with Kennedy right into a river.
Yeah.
That's just me. All right. Now, Glenn is not with us this week and next week, but we did bring in a special guest to hang out with us, Alan, who also writes on politicalpistachio.com. All right, Alan, what do you think of the cries of Hillary? Because of what he's written on politicalpistachio.com, visit it. Look for Alan McNew's articles. But Alan, what do you think of the cries of Hillary?
I'm tongue-tied.
You brought something up about the cries of Hillary. She was at an event with Madeleine Albright. If you remember, Madeleine was the Secretary of State during the Clinton administration. Mm-hmm. And Madeleine comes out, and of course, they're both flummoxed by the idea that the millennials are not voting for Hillary. They love Bernie. And that's a whole other story.
Well, actually, that's interesting, because the next thing I wanted to talk about was there's an article in the Press Enterprise, and it's titled Millennials Heed the Siren Call of Socialism, and more specifically, Sanders Socialism. We've got this younger generation, the last 2 to 3, you know, groups of high school, groups of 4, so, you know, about the last 12 years worth that have been, granted, for more than 100 years, our students are being slammed with socialist ideals, but especially in this last decade where these kids are coming out of school and coming out of college with this pounded into them, and now this guy, Bernie Sanders, who says straight out, hey, I'm a socialist, and they're flocking to him.
That's scary.
That is the most frightening thing, right, Diane?
Yeah, well, they're not getting educated in the public schools, that's why. Right. That's frightening. You're right.
Yes, it is. No one's explained socialism, and that's a thing that really bothers me. I try to explain it to the kids and the grandkids. But when you say, I will give you free tuition, everyone says, yeah, but someone has to pay.
Yes.
You have to say to them, but at the end of the line, who pays the school? Can you figure it out for me? And they're usually dumbfounded, and they can't answer. So, I mean, we probably should do a whole program on socialism. It's history, what happens to the citizens as they are plunged further and further into this social experiment that has never actually worked for any country, by the way.
Well, here's a paragraph from Joel Klotkin's article in Press Enterprise, a local newspaper here in the Inland Empire, for those of you that are listening outside the area. The new generation's lurch toward socialism would have been unimaginable at any previous moment in the past half century. A recent YouGov.com poll found some 36% of people ages 18 to 29 favor socialism, compared with barely 39% support for capitalism. Support for socialism drops to 26% among people ages 30 to 44, tumbles to 24% support 45 to 64, and hits 15% among those over 65. And those, by the way, that 15% over 65 probably had flowers in their hair back in the 60s. So we're seeing the number, though, slowly rise. It's showing what the education system has done.
Yes.
But here's the thing, the 15% have the history in their heads. They know about what happened in those countries that had socialism. You know, and look at Cuba right now. This is a real-time experiment in socialism. The people are hungry. They're online for, you know, bread and toilet paper. This is what goes on. You have oligarchs at the head of the chain, and the rest of the people be damned.
Yeah, but see, that's not what these kids think socialism is. I've had conversations with a lot of these young people. What they're being taught is, hey, we already have socialism. Police departments, fire departments, that's all paid by the state. That's socialism. Anybody who doesn't want socialism are anarchists. Either it's government takes care of all everything, or you want no government and you're an anarchist. And that makes you evil and probably racist. That's what these kids believe. And I think that's a large part of the reason why they're leaning towards socialism. And that said, we are going to break. We'll be back right after this. And here's what we're going to tackle when we return. Did you see Barack Obama on Colbert after the Super Bowl? You're not going to believe what he said. And I picked up on it. Also, there's things going on in Germany regarding the migrants. And there's real concerns locally about law enforcement. All of that after the break. Don't go anywhere.
Hungry for a delicious handmade pizza in your neighborhood? Antonia's Pizza in Cherry Valley is just the place for made-to-order pizza, even gluten-free pizza, roasted chicken wings, pasta, lasagna, chicken or eggplant parmesan, fresh salads, sandwiches, even burgers. The family dining room has lots of games for the youngsters, making it a great night out for the whole family. Antonia's Pizza's Christian owners have been happily serving their Pass area neighbors for more than 25 years. This family place to be is located at 10400 Beaumont Avenue in Cherry Valley. It's open 7 days a week at 10 a.m. Planning a birthday party, and after the game event, any catering party, be sure to call Antonia's Pizza at 951-769-8822 for their specials. Find them on Facebook or the website antoniaspizzacherryvalley.com.
Special thanks to the Farmhouse Restaurant. They are located between Banning and Beaumont, just off the Highland Springs Road. The local tea party meets every Tuesday at 8 a.m. for breakfast, and once a month on the second Thursday for fellowship of like-minded conservatives. Fine food and dining at the Farmhouse Restaurant.
Did you know that home sales are up 7% in Riverside County? If you're considering buying or selling a home, commercial space, or some land in the Pass area, interest rates are still at an all-time low. Consider Cherry Valley Realty, the oldest realtor office in the Pass area. This family-owned company has been in business for more than 40 years, and they're happy to say that so many of their customers come back after selling or buying a property. Stop in, take Cherry Valley Boulevard exit off the I-10 freeway to Beaumont Avenue. It's located at 10385 Beaumont Avenue in downtown Cherry Valley. Or call them at 951-845-2637. That's 951-845-2637. Or check the website at cherryvalleyrealty.com.
Welcome back to Conservative Voice Radio, KBT 1490 AM. We just spent some time talking about Hillary Clinton, Barry Sanders, and there's one more thing that needed to be brought up regarding Hillary. Go ahead, Jan.
Well, I was watching this event, as I said earlier, with Madeleine Albright and Hillary, and Madeleine ended her talk with, "There's a special kind of hell for women who don't support other women." And I about fell off my chair. I thought, I just groaned. I said, first of all, that is such an affront to looking at a person's character. What's it got to do with gender? And yes, I help women. I help men. I support people who are worthy, and it doesn't matter what their gender is. And they're throwing us back to the 60s, just what Gloria Steinem did a couple of days ago as well. She made a gender remark, and that is such an affront. And I wanted to say to Gloria, hey, Gloria, the 60s are over. You're not 28 anymore, and let's get real.
So there's a special kind of hell for these women, and you said, what has gender got to do with it? Does that mean Bruce Jenner can get into that special hell?
Evidently.
Special place in hell.
Bruce has to go Democrat for sure. He has to vote for Hillary. Absolutely.
They fell on their face on that one because then they're choosing a gender over, you know, we're supposed to have equality of gender. So.
Speaking of idiotic statements, after the big game last Sunday where Denver pretty much clobbered Carolina. The Colbert, Late Night with Colbert, which he replaced David Letterman, came on, and it was live, and they did this little segment about throwing around the football and all that, and Obama wound up on there, and Obama makes a comment. I'm bringing up President Obama on this because I think this sums him up. He makes a comment on the air that he calls the winner of every Super Bowl, and he'll call the loser if he bet on him. And Colbert makes a statement, well, bet on him, isn't that illegal? And Obama responds, illegal, I'm the President of the United States. I'll just pardon myself.
Oh, my.
I felt that that pretty much summed him up. What do you think?
Well, yeah, for a guy who writes an executive order, he's got his phone and he's got his pen, and that's his idea of being president. Well, you know what? We didn't really sign you up to be dictator or emperor or king, Mr. Obama, so I think you better reread the Constitution. Oh, by the way, didn't you lecture and teach the Constitution? You should know that.
He lectured on the 14th Amendment at the University of Chicago and how to use the 14th Amendment to create racial division, but that's a different discussion. Now, is this the first time, Diane, that you've heard about his little statement?
Well, I know that he's used his executive power quite a bit, and he's overrode the wills of the people and the wants of the people, everything from Obamacare to this, that, and the other. So that's nothing new. It's not a surprise to me that he would say something like that, but I think it's kind of sad. It's rather sad.
Well, here's why I bring this up, because leftism, talked about this with Hillary earlier and her comments and her cries, and now Obama's. And I mentioned this in the first segment. These people believe they're above the law. The law doesn't apply to them. They can do whatever they want to do whatever they think is necessary, even if it's completely insane, which kind of sets up this. The Department of Homeland Security ordered records to be scrubbed of Muslims with terrorist ties, and at the same time in Germany, we've got migrants in some of these cities and towns. They are required to receive migrants, Syrian migrants, Muslims, whatever, equal or above to 25% of the city population. I was told this by someone from Germany last Saturday. And also, there's an article out there about an Islamic State commander living as a refugee in a German village. To us, it's like complete insanity. Well, they're doing this because, remember, they're above the law. It doesn't matter what the reality is or what common sense is. There's an agenda, and there's a statist agenda, be it here or abroad, that needs to be followed and put in place. And so they think they're above the law. They don't have to follow common sense. They can do whatever they want, regardless of the cries of the people. Because someone says to me then, after I was talking about that, well, wait a second. I thought in Germany, they were against this. They were coming to their senses. And I said, no, the people are, not the leadership. To go back to something you said earlier, the people be damned.
Yeah. That's exactly right. But this opens all kinds of things. Wait a minute. Let's back up a second here. Rand Paul warned us about the NSA. And you say, well, Jan, why are you bringing that up? If Obama is scrubbing information about terrorists that are amongst the Muslim population, then isn't that intelligence being thrown away? By the same token, the NSA wants to record our every phone call. So you have to say, well, then, is the NSA really an agenda rather than a find-the-terrorist organization?
Which would conveniently then lead to the conclusion that if they're willing to get rid of the information regarding terrorists in Islam because they consider them their allies, that means they're keeping what they consider to be records about quote-unquote terrorists on of groups that oppose them. You know, like Tea Party
well,
groups.
Yes, okay. Republican groups. Politically, yeah. Absolutely.
Taping our phone calls and
yeah, so, you know, and I made a comment a few weeks ago on a radio program. I said, how long before the stormtroopers show up at a Tea Party meeting to break it up? Diane, what do you think?
Well, remember, this is the same commander-in-chief that went to that controversial mosque, which had ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. And what my friend Doug said, that an Islamic State commander is living in Germany. And that, to me, is scary, because that can happen here, because all these refugees are coming here.
Well, it is happening here. They are here. I've been saying this for years about our porous border. It's not just about illegal aliens. It's about national security. Back in, what was it, 2004, 2005, I can't remember the year now off the top of my head, I had read a study that had found that one out of three illegal aliens crossing the border at San Ysidro was of Middle Eastern descent.
Yes. Absolutely. And I told you, they found Qurans, they found Arabic writing there. They are coming in. And you know, to the Democrats who go along with the open border and then give us this sing-song about we've got to have this goodness in our heart for the people that only want a good job and coming in here illegally. Well, you know what? Your safety is at risk, folks. And if you want a President Trump, just go right along with it.
Well,
okay,
think about this.
That's his platform, to close the border.
And think about this. These Islamic, quote-unquote, migrants or refugees are even emboldened, because what are they worried about this government for? This is the same government that has been making deals with Iran. And Iran's nuclear weapon buildup has continued straight through since the Iran nuke deal. So what do the migrants care? I mean, hey, man, if they're willing to do that with Iran, obviously they don't care about us. You know, we'll come in droves and get them also from within. This is a government that is willing to bend over backwards and kiss the rear of Islamic nations. So it emboldens these refugees, emboldens these migrants, in my opinion.
Yeah, but we're painting ourselves in a corner, because essentially you've got China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. That's a cabal that is assisting each other. And they all have different agendas, but gee, isn't it interesting? It works out now during the time of the weakest president that I have seen in my lifetime.
Our guest Alan in here has something to say on this one. Go ahead and join us.
That all kind of reminds me more from, you know, going back to what you said earlier about bowing and kissing their posteriors and all that. I think it's more of bowing in the other direction with a presentation posture and saying, come and get it.
Right. Well, absolutely. Well, and that kind of goes back to the emails here with Hillary. It wasn't that she was giving information to the enemy. She was putting it on there because she knew the enemy would hack into it, and that was a way they could get to it. So, same thing here. They're not literally giving to the enemy, but they're setting up the system so the enemy can take it.
I think she's just so arrogant that she decided that this is what she's going to do, and she's trying to keep her information away from the public and all of that.
Hillary's confused, Obama's confused, all these leftists confused why everybody's upset.
No.
They're above the law.
No. If you watch the GOP debate, Marco Rubio said three times, and he was excoriated for it, that Obama knows exactly what he's doing.
No, I know they know what they're doing. I'm not saying they're confused in the sense of that. No, no. I know they know exactly what they're doing. No, they're confused that anybody has a problem with it, because the end result is utopia, and that's all that matters.
They're confused.
What does it matter how they get there?
It's an arrogant agenda.
Right.
They're confused about right and wrong.
Okay, you know, let's move on real quick here, because I want to talk a little bit more about getting back to Obama on Colbert. He said it doesn't matter if betting was illegal. He would pardon himself. I want to get back to that again, because how many times have we seen him act illegally, unconstitutionally,
yes,
and shrug it off? What does it matter? I'm president of the United States. And it's not just an arrogance. remember, this is the same guy who's been pushing us to be more like Europe. And I think that's what they're looking for. It's a European monarchy kind of thing. Okay, now that all said, let's move on to the next part. Law enforcement. There's in Western Riverside County, the city of Marietta is the only one that has its own police department. Pretty much all the other cities contract out to Riverside County. And what has been happening is all the cities are in trouble monetarily. Riverside County has not been providing law enforcement as they believe is needed. So there has been a joint, I don't know, they're working together to create a joint police department, or a JPA, forming an alliance. And here's the cities that are considering doing this. Canyon Lake, Calamasa, Coachella, Eastvale, Indian Wells, Yuripa Valley, Lake Elsinore, La Quinta, Menifee, Moreno Valley, Paris, San Jacinto, and Temecula. There are also four other cities that contract with Riverside County, but have not necessarily said they're going to be a part of this. The Norco, Wildomar, Palm Desert, and Rancho Mirage. And Murrieta, because they're the only ones with a really strong police force, has been asked to kind of lead this. Now, here's what I notice about these cities. Desert area, down the hill, all around the pass area, but yet the pass area hasn't signed on to this possibility. They're not even mentioned here. Now, my question is this. I live in Murrieta. You guys live up here in the pass area. What is law enforcement like up here? And if something like this was to be created, how quick do you think the pass area would be asking to be a part of it?
Probably pretty quick, because they cut 30% out of the police budget right here, right now, in Beaumont. And it's going to be felt by the citizens, and perhaps at some future date, this idea might make sense. I don't know.
Well, the reason for the joint police department is because what they're paying and for what they're getting from the Riverside County is not acceptable. And they believe that if they do this jointly, the service will be better and the price will go down per city. Go ahead, Alan. What do you think about this?
Well, anyways, Beaumont had a small army of police officers, and there was a two-minute response anywhere in the system once the call went out. Okay? So I don't understand why they're cutting all that, because their citizens certainly supported that.
Well, they're not cutting the police, it's dispatchers, it's more the service side of the police department, which is important. The dispatch is very important, because Beaumont is experiencing budget issues overall because of the, I would say, the management problems in the last 10 years, in the last decade. So it's all, the chickens are coming home to roost. So now they've got to be very stringent with their budget in order to plan better.
One of the cities leading the cry for this is San Jacinto, and they're right down at the bottom of Lamb's Canyon from you guys. And, I mean, they are in serious revenue trouble, that city is. And they're really trying to pull out of, and what it's done, it's not this current city council, it's the one prior that really created the situation. Mm-hmm. This current city council is trying to pull them out of the mess. But I think it was Alan off mic earlier that said, why don't these cities unincorporate, thank you, and then do a reset? Why not? What do you think?
Well, I think that if all else fails, you know, that would be one way to go about it. The people who voted themselves out of paying property taxes, mm-hmm. they don't have a legal agreement with the county not to tax them.
Right.
And let that go on for like 2 or 3 years and then reincorporate.
All right, Diane, you're your final word on this. What do you think of this possibility of a joint police department, whether or not the Banning-Beaumont area would wind up becoming a part of it, and the fact that San Jacinto is so broke they're screaming for it?
Well, I think money's going to dictate probably what they do, and I'm not really an expert on that, but I will say this. What Alan was saying about the police had it down where they could only take a couple minutes to get there. Well, the police may only take minutes, but your Glock or your Ruger will only take seconds.
Yeah.
Girl.
I've got a saying that's very similar. When seconds matter, the police are only minutes away.
Yeah.
Good one.
All right. When we return, China, Russia, North Korea, and also some other weapons of mass destruction, Trump, Carson, and the rest of the GOP field, when we return.
Did you know that home sales are up 7% in Riverside County? If you're considering buying or selling a home, commercial space, or some land in the Pass area, interest rates are still at an all-time low. Consider Cherry Valley Realty, the oldest realtor office in the Pass area. This family-owned company has been in business for more than 40 years, and they're happy to say that so many of their customers come back after selling or buying a property. Stop in, take Cherry Valley Boulevard exit off the I-10 freeway to Beaumont Avenue. It's located at 10385 Beaumont Avenue in downtown Cherry Valley. Or call them at 951-845-2637. That's 951-845-2637. Or check the website at cherryvalleyrealty.com.
Special thanks to the Farmhouse Restaurant. They are located between Banning and Beaumont, just off the Highland Springs Road. The local tea party meets every Tuesday at 8 a.m. for breakfast and once a month on the second Thursday for fellowship of like-minded conservatives. Find food and dining at the Farmhouse Restaurant.
Are you fed up with what's going on in politics today? I bet you answered yes. We're in a mess and something's got to change, especially in California. Democrats spent almost $20 trillion and the poverty rate for women, blacks, Hispanics, all minorities have gone up. The middle class and small business are being stifled with regulations and higher taxes. Democrats want open borders and they want illegals to have even more entitlements. Democrats oppose voter ID, which means your vote might be open to fraud. They want sanctuary cities instead of looking after the safety of American citizens. They oppose investigating Planned Parenthood for selling aborted baby organs. Stop voting for the same party and expecting different results. Make a difference. Join the Banning Beaumont Cherry Valley Tea Party. We meet the second Thursday of the month at 5 p.m. at the Farms House Restaurant in Banning.
As Old Ironsides has been known to say, speak softly and carry a big stick. Teddy Roosevelt.
Welcome back to Conservative Voice Radio. Time for the third segment. We talked about Americanism 101 with Obama, President Obama, and the DHS and Islam. We've talked about some local issues. Let's get into some international things here. China, Russia, North Korea, and I lump them all together for a reason. My colleague here, Jan, says that we should throw Iran into the mix too, and we will. But North Korea, what's this I'm hearing about, once again, testing? Is this Continental ballistic missile? Is this what was tested?
They fired a long-range, quote, missile test, and it's capable of reaching either the east or the west coast. The interesting thing is that there can be a nuclear head put on it, miniaturized. And anybody who heard about this was concerned, and even Susan Rice, remember her? She came out the next day and said this is a real security concern. So when the administration is admitting it's a security concern, it is serious. And I'm concerned because, of course, North Korea has a relationship with China. They are the client of China. And also Iran, there is a connection there. So what we've got now is a wacko with nuclear capabilities.
All right, Diane, what do you think about what North Korea is doing?
There was an interesting thing on Facebook. North Korea is scary. You never know. They're a rogue country. You never know what they're going to be doing. And I think that guy that's running North Korea, what is it?
Kim Jong-un. Yeah.
He's crazy, I think.
He's the un-dictator.
Yeah. But here's the deal that I heard. I thought it was kind of interesting, that it was on a pretty reputable site, and I'm sorry, I don't know the exact name of it, but it was one that's pretty dependable, that said that the satellite, the missile, actually went over our country, and it went right over the Super Bowl, where the Super Bowl was. But it was about an hour after it was over. And by the way, they're looking for applicants to apply for the pilot of that missile. Any suggestions?
You know, it's true. And someone had said that they flew it over an hour after the game, and that the guy in North Korea that was responsible for that is probably in prison now because he was supposed to do it during the game. And I thought that was an interesting comment about it. Who knows?
Well, the way CNN put it is, North Korea satellite tumbling in space. So they made it sound like, well, it wasn't very successful. It was kind of a mess, tumbling in orbit. And according to the USA Today, the UN Security Council condemns North Korean long-range missile launch. Do you think they're condemning it because they feel they have to for, you know, the reasons of all the eyes watching them? Or are they truly worried about North Korea's capabilities emerging?
I think they're worried because Susan Rice would not have come out and said it's a security risk without getting permission from the White House over it. Well, I think it's scary. What do you think, Alan?
I think they're all a bunch of buffoons. You know, if they really mean what they're saying, or they're all so concerned or that sort of a thing, they should quietly go tell them to, there'll be no more of this. Next missile that comes up, just shoot it down.
That's mm-hmm. not Obama. But I'll tell you something, getting back to the GOP debate, Trump said, wait a minute, here's a case again where you have to strong arm China because they control North Korea. And you have to just tell China, you have got to put a stop to this.
Well,
we can't have it.
I don't think they really control them so much as tolerate them, you might say.
Right.
Kind of just mm-hmm. sort of help them out as maybe a socialist, communist brother sort of a thing. Okay, it's a pariah regime, and they're not really all that happy with North Korea.
But where are they getting their money from for this technology?
Well, where are they getting their food from? Because
the people are starving.
Yeah, people are starving. They're eating bark, and when they're not eating bark, it's because China has intervened. And South Korea called this missile launch an intolerable provocation, and it's all about maintaining the regime. Meanwhile, China's response was that if South Korea deployed an anti-missile system, it would escalate tensions.
Well, the reason that China is tolerating North Korea, it's North Korea is a buffer because they don't want the South Koreans, the United States, up there on the Yalu River.
That's a good point, Alan.
Well, Japan had deployed Patriot anti-ballistic missile systems and 3 warships equipped with missile defenses prior to the test, but did not attempt to shoot down the missile or debris, according to the defense ministry. And so now, what was Russia's response? Was there anything about Russia, or is that tied into the UN Security Council, you think?
It might be, you know, because they always back those countries, and that's always a worry. The thing that bothers me is we now have these close-knit groups which are against us, and they're forming, as I mentioned earlier, a cabal. That's worrisome. This is like a precursor to a world war.
I think Japan's the most nervous over there, too.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that Security Council has 15 members, and it does include the United States, China, and Russia. And they said, even though North Korea characterized the rocket test as a satellite launch, it was clearly an effort to develop a ballistic missile, and it violated 4 UN resolutions dating all the way back to 2006. And Sunday's launch also follows North Korea's widely disputed claim in January to have tested a hydrogen bomb. North Korean rocket nuclear tests are considered moves towards the North's ultimate goal of a nuclear-armed missile that could hit the U.S. mainland.
Right.
Secretary of State John Kerry responded by calling the foreign ministers of South Korea and Japan on Sunday to reaffirm U.S. commitment to the security and defense of both nations and their allies, which actually surprised me, or maybe it shouldn't. He was doing that on the surface, I think secretly. He was cheering on
who
North
knows?
Korea.
They're way too polite with these rogue regimes, all of them.
Anything Kerry says has no credibility.
I agree with that.
Me too.
Okay, the next topic, let's talk about Trump, Carson, and all of these GOP candidates, the GOP debate. And I watched the debate, and to me it was no different than any other debate. It was just the same old hashed out stuff. What caught my attention was the very beginning. Number one, as the candidates are being called out on the stage, the two politically inexperienced candidates, Donald Trump and Ben Carson, were confused. They didn't hear their names, whatever, but even if you don't hear your names, if you're in the political game, you kind of know you're next, you're supposed to stand on your X or your mark or whatever, and so it was lack of experience, I think, that created that situation. And the other thing was then, after they recalled Carson and Trump out on stage, the Kasich's waiting back there for his name, and they never called it for a while, and then they, oh yeah, by the way, we got to bring out Kasich.
That was an ABC error. No, ABC, the sound was bad. Every candidate said you could not hear a thing. Why didn't they have someone guiding these people out? They look silly.
Or maybe a speaker in that part of the stage, maybe even.
Right.
Well, hindsight's 20/20.
But Trump did a very telling thing. Was it you who brought it up? When Carson hesitated in the wings, Carson explained he didn't know if his name had not yet been called or it was called. He was confused. Trump came out slowly and stood next to Carson. Is that like maybe a window to the future because he kind of stood up for Carson?
I think Trump kind of has that personality that he likes to help, or at least he wants to show that he helps. Now, I still think he doesn't believe what he says half the time, but I do think it's in his nature to try to be a good guy in those types of situations. So I think that was just showing, I don't think it was saying anything about Trump thinking that maybe Carson should be a VP, if that's what you're
alluding to.
But I do think it showed that he cares about people around him, and he shows no animosity towards Carson, and he's willing, and it may have been that Trump did hear his name, but he was willing to stand there with Carson until
right.
they got out there.
Cleared it up.
Right.
Exactly.
All
Trump
right.
does have a big heart. Everyone who knows him personally has said that.
Now, what fascinated me, too, is Carson wasn't asked the question, what is a conservative? Everybody else got asked that question.
Yes, and that really bugged me. And Carson was on later, on a, right afterwards, and he talked about what a conservative is. And I would love to tell you what he said, just briefly, if I may.
Sure.
He said, how is it that we are not preserving a country that from 1776 to 1876 became the number one power? It's because of who we are. It's because of being conservative. He said, to be a conservative, we take entrepreneurial risks, and America was built on opportunity, allowing people to move from a state of dependency into the fabric of America. He said that our enormous resources fuel our tremendous rise. He said, we wouldn't use the EPA or the Bureau of Land Management to depress businesses and people. He said, we work with business, academia, agriculture to develop the resources of our great nation and to preserve the environment. What a beautiful answer to what is a conservative.
Diane, what did you think about the happenings before the debate and during the debate?
Well, I thought it was pretty interesting. There's always something new on each debate. Let me see. Let me try to pick something out here. Well, I think what Jan was saying about Carson shows that he has the right heart to be president. People are questioning whether or not he has, you know, the experience to be the president.
So he's got a great heart, but is having a heart enough?
It could be, because if he delegates well, and he, because there's plenty of people that he could delegate to take care of the things he needs to and take advice from.
Well, he was able to delegate as a neurosurgeon quite well,
but that's
a different situation.
Heck of a lot better than
what we environment.
Than what we got in the White House now.
This is true.
But you know what, Diane? I think that's a big point, because remember Kennedy had said way back when, it was really big, he was young, and they said, how will you manage the country? And he said, I plan to surround myself with smart people.
Yes, yes, and I remember that too, and you stand on the shoulders of giants.
Well, Kennedy made some dumb decisions. You know, one of them had to do with the Bay of Pigs, and then his entry into Vietnam the way he did, and the assassination of President Diem of South Vietnam, you know, where he thought that there was a need for a coup. Can't have somebody who has the coalition Diem did, you know, and not leave him alive.
Well, okay? This is true. That was a mistake. But does that go to him going rogue on his cabinet and his military? We have one right now who's gone rogue. And look at the mess in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. So maybe Vietnam was because he went rogue. I don't know. I'd have to read the history more carefully. Anybody got an opinion on that?
No, but I could continue with, you know, the debate. I thought one of the interesting things was when they were picking on Cruz about repeating something three times or whatever.
And then, Rubio.
Yeah.
They picked on Rubio.
Oh, Rubio. Yes, yeah. Right. It's Rubio this time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but then later on we find out that Bush had removed, his family had removed people by eminent domain. He was the one that was.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
He kind of came off as a bully,
on,
I think.
He got on Trump over eminent domain, and it seemed like he made a big point of it. And it just turned out a couple days later that the Bush family used eminent domain for the Rangers stadium in Texas.
So, yes,
how about
I thought that
one?
Was interesting.
So he was quite embarrassed and upset about it, Bush was. But the other thing was Christie got on the case of
Rubio,
because Rubio came out three times with the very same statement, and everybody just called him a robot from that point on. So
now, do you think that what happened to Trump and Carson's confusion, do you think that hurt them in the New Hampshire, did have the potential, should I say, to hurt them in the New Hampshire primary?
I don't think so, no.
You don't think the voters made that big of a deal about it? Well, gosh, they're just confused. They don't even know what they're doing. You don't think they... Okay.
Well, then right after that, Megyn Kelly called out Christie for repeating this. He repeated a couple things, too, so she called him.
Right.
So it was kind of like went in a circle there.
When we return to Conservative Voice Radio, we're talking about New Hampshire. Now, there's a special caveat we'll bring up when we return about New Hampshire. And we're also going to talk about superdelegates. And also, a lot of people ask me all the time, what is this delegate thing? How are they chosen? What are they? And we'll get to that as well. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us for the final segment right here on KMET 1490 AM. You are listening to Conservative Voice Radio.
Hungry for a delicious handmade pizza in your neighborhood? Antonia's Pizza in Cherry Valley is just the place for made-to-order pizza, even gluten-free pizza, roasted chicken wings, pasta, lasagna, chicken or eggplant parmesan, fresh salads, sandwiches, even burgers. The family dining room has lots of games for the youngsters, making it a great night out for the whole family. Antonia's Pizza's Christian owners have been happily serving their Pass area neighbors for more than 25 years. This family place to be is located at 10400 Beaumont Avenue in Cherry Valley. It's open 7 days a week at 10 a.m. Planning a birthday party, and after the game event, any catering party, be sure to call Antonia's Pizza at 951-769-8822 for their specials. Find them on Facebook or the website antoniaspizzacherryvalley.com.
Special thanks to the Farmhouse Restaurant. They are located between Banning and Beaumont, just off the Highland Springs Road. The local tea party meets every Tuesday at 8 a.m. for breakfast, and once a month on the second Thursday for fellowship of like-minded conservatives. Find food and dining at the Farmhouse Restaurant.
Ever wonder why we can't discuss politics? Well, you just haven't had the Democrat dictionary handy. For instance, invest in our infrastructure means more government spending. Revenues means taxation. Choice means pro-abortion only. Common sense gun safety means gun control. Refugees is a nice term for illegal immigrants. The unvetted, the undocumented, radical jihadists is really just workplace violence. And now you know why we can't even discuss what's happening in our country, because the Democrats speak a different language. Get informed. Get your copy of our working document, the Constitution, at a Tea Party meeting near you. The Banning Beaumont Cherry Valley Tea Party meets on the second Thursday of the month and weekly for breakfast at the Farms House Restaurant in Banning. Learn a new language. It'll really help you at the polls when you vote in November.
If you want to learn more about the United States Constitution, buy the books by Douglas V. Gibbs, The Basic Constitution and 25 Myths of the United States Constitution. Or you can also check out his latest book, Silenced Screams, Abortion in a Virtuous Society. Find the links to purchase these books online at politicalpistachio.com, and the links will be at the top of the page. Also check out Doug's Constitution classes in Temecula and Corona, douglasvgibbs.com, to learn more about those. And the Constitution Association meets on the first Saturday of each month. Go to constitutionassociation.com to learn more about the group.
Time for the final segment here on Conservative Voice Radio, KMET 1490 AM, every Saturday at 8 a.m. Did you miss part of the program? Are you listening and you're going, oh man, I wanted to hear what they said about the cries of Hillary or about what Obama said on Colbert? No problem. Go to KMET1490AM.com, find our show page on the website, and hit the podcast. And all of our past programs are on that page. Now, let's talk about something during our final segment here. What happened in New Hampshire? Now, for those of you who are not regular listeners of this program, you may not know this. Some of the regular listeners, I think, do. We do pre-record this. And at the time of the recording of this, all of the final information about the primary in New Hampshire was not in. So we're going by early reporting as we talk about this. We'll see how it ends up. But I think that the early results are telling and may be pretty close to what we may see in the end. Early reporting has over 60% going to Barry Sanders when it comes to Democrats, with a little over 30% going to Clinton. And then an M. Greenstein was 7%. I don't even know who that is. And I don't even see O'Malley. I don't even see him on the list. I don't even think he's getting anything here. Did he even get on the ballot in that state? Meanwhile, for the Republicans, we've got Cruz, Kasich, and Trump all tied for first, with Christie behind them, and then Bush, then Rubio, then Carson. So that's kind of the order there, and that's kind of what we expected of those guys. I was surprised to see Kasich is high, but then again, he's, you know, just a couple states over. He's kind of a northeastern Republican, so that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But now, here's the thing. It's about delegates and getting delegates, and the total number of delegates for the Republican Party in that state and for the Democrat Party differ. And also, in the case of Hillary Clinton, she has 6 superdelegates. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, let's talk to Diane and Jan and Alan if he wants to join us on this. With what's going on right now with the vote, first of all, it's a surprise that Sanders got an early start and is out in front, and the Cruz, Kasich, Trump, with Rubio kind of further down the list. Does that surprise you that Rubio's not right there with them? And does it surprise you Kasich's there?
Not at all. I'll tell you why Kasich is doing so well. He did 100 town halls in New Hampshire.
Wow.
So that, you know, he has really shaken a lot of hands and talked to people. So that wins people over every time. Mm-hmm. But I honestly think it will be Trump Kasich. Believe it or not, that's my theory.
So you don't think Cruz can pull off a win in?
Not as much.
Not like he did in Iowa?
No, because Cruz had the evangelical, he had the Christian vote in Iowa. This is a secular state and very independent state, I don't think. No.
Well, basically, I'm pulling for Cruz, but I'm going to predict Trump, and I think Christie might get a good showing because he's a Northeastern guy.
Northeast Republican, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what, and the thing is, now that makes us think about, you know, with whoever gets this presidential nomination, the thinking has always been for Republicans that wherever you're strong, the vice president you pick is going to be strong where you are weak. For example, in the case of Reagan, he, you know, as conservative as he was, the Northeastern Republicans didn't like him. That's why he chose Bush, who was popular with the Northeastern Republicans. Do you think that kind of thinking will play into the choice for vice president as this progresses?
It has to. If they're smart, they better. But this is where Ohio plays a big role. Ohio and Florida, you have to win those states. So to me, Rubio and Kasich will play a role in who is picked in the end.
Well, I've been a firm believer, ultimately, the vice presidential choice will be Governor Scott. That's just my thought. All right, now let's talk. Do you have more?
Well, I would just say probably Bernie over Hillary.
Well,
that's,
you know,
all I wanted to add.
I think that in the northeastern states, it's going to be interesting. The more socialist the state leans, the better Bernie's going to do. And the younger the voting base, the better Bernie's going to do.
Yes.
Then the older the voting base, you know, Hillary's going to do better. As for the rest of the states, once you get out of the northeastern United States, it's really hard to call when it comes to the Democrats.
I don't think on the Democrat side that it's going to be the squeak that it was in Iowa. I honestly think Bernie will have a better showing.
Are you thinking that Bernie Sanders will be the Democrat Party nomination?
I don't think he will ever make it. But I think in this state, he will have a better showing. Knowing the Clinton machine, that's not going to happen, folks.
Yeah.
Now, people have been asking me about the delegates. They're not understanding the delegate system. And it's funny because each party has a different way of choosing them. For the most part, when it comes to the delegate system, it's kind of tied into the Electoral College idea where there's populations involved. And so in both cases, the electoral votes and number of representatives, that kind of thing, does play a part. But there are also other parts of the formula that goes into how many delegates and all that. Now, what fascinates me is the super delegate thing, where there are actually delegates that are already belonging to certain. So you're going to get them no matter what. For example, in New Hampshire, Clinton is going to get 6 superdelegates no matter what. So at the time of us looking at this, Sanders had won 17 delegates at this point with 60% of the vote, almost 61%. Hillary Clinton, 9 with 32.1, but she has 6 superdelegates, so really she's at 15. So, you know, and this superdelegate thing, it's strange because it's like saying, yeah, we believe in democracy, but we don't trust you, so we're going to have superdelegates too. That already pledged. Now, that said, where does, you know, someone like Hillary Clinton stand when it comes to overall nationally? Listen to these numbers. 369 superdelegates have committed to a candidate. So these are superdelegates that the candidate's going to get no matter what the vote is in each of these states. And there's a number of different numbers in different states. But the overall number, O'Malley has 2, Sanders has 8, Hillary Clinton 359. No matter what she does, those delegates belong to her.
Clinton machine.
Yeah.
Clinton machine. All right, and finally, as we get ready to go off the air, I did want to mention also that when it comes to delegate allocation. Here's the way GWE.edu, as the George Washington University, explains it. The Republican Party has a base allocation of 6 delegates. Each state receives 3 for each congressional district in the state. There are each state in which a ticket has one presidential gets also delegates. Then there are GOP elected officials that have delegates. And then there's bonuses based on dates and all that other stuff. Now, and I've actually been trying to become a delegate because I know a couple of people who are able to offer delegates. Because what it is let's say you have an elected official, and because of his being an elected official, he's allowed to pick 6 delegates. So those 6 delegates belong to him, and he could get to go to the convention. But the delegates are required to vote normally on what the primary voters voted. Now, in a caucus, and it gets different. In the Democrat Party, there are 3,000 delegate votes distributed among 50 states and D.C. according to a formula which gives equal weight to the sum of the vote for the Democrat presidential ticket in the state in the 3 most recent presidential elections and the state's electoral vote relative to the national electoral vote. And then it's leave it to the Democrats, get complicated. You're not going to get this. But then it's multiplied by 3,000 by this allocation factor to calculate total base delegates. 75% are district level and 25% are at large. Then you add on 15% for party leaders, elected officials. The Democrats make it so complicated, but then again, I guess that sums them up.
Par for the course.
All right.
Doesn't sound very democratic to me.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of obfuscation.
Absolutely. That's their playbook.
Well, it sounds like the Hillary machine's going to get a little help here, but...
Yeah.
Boy.
You know?
Unless
you know
the FBI jumps in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole other ballgame.
We're going to end the show with this. I can almost, in my mind's eye, see a future headline. Newly voted President Hillary Clinton must have handcuffs removed so that she can be sworn into office.
Oh, wow.
What do you
think? That's a bad picture.
Possible?
That is a bad picture. Oh, no.
Thanks for listening to Conservative Voice Radio right here on KMET 1490 AM. Crew, say goodbye to the audience.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
And we'll see you next week right here on KMET. And remember, united we stand, combined we kick butt. And also remember, God bless America and God bless you.
Here's another Tea Party Minute from the Banning Beaumont Cherry Valley Tea Party. Did you see the Democrat debate? I was shocked to find out that Hillary Clinton considers half the country her enemy. Listen to this.
But a final question to each of you. You've all made a few people upset over your political careers. Which enemy are you most proud of? Secretary Clinton?
Well, in addition to the NRA, the health insurance companies, the drug companies, the Iranians, probably the Republicans.
Here's a memo to Mrs. Clinton. After 7 years of identity politics and failure to compromise with the other party, we have a candidate who has already compared that party to Iran. Yes, she thinks the Republicans are her enemy. Wow. And you want our vote? I don't think so. I want this country to heal, not more division. Let's pay attention and elect a real leader.
The preceding program was produced by the Banning Beaumont Cherry Valley Tea Party. You can visit their website at bbcvteaparty.com and by Douglas V. Gibbs. You can learn more about Doug at douglasvgibbs.com. We would like to thank our sponsors,
Antonia's Pizza, located in Cherry Valley, Cherry Valley Realty, and the Banning Beaumont Cherry Valley Tea Party.
This program came to you on KMET 1490 AM and worldwide at KMET1490AM.com. United we stand, combined we kick butt. God bless America, my friends. God bless you. We'll see you next week.